Praise God. I bless you today. This is Pastor Mark Cho in Revival Today. I hope and pray that you enjoy this message, When They Throw Dirt. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I thank God because this is a new year coming, and I believe that God is trying to establish peace in the hearts and the lives of his people. Right now, I want to talk about a few things today because I'm talking about no cross, no crown. I'm talking about how to be a survivor spiritually so that you recognize where God has brought you from. Today's society, it's programming people to now feel as if they have God, but it's a form of godliness because God represents peace. He said, peace and goodwill towards all men. It doesn't say white, black. It doesn't say Spanish. It says all men. The kingdom of God is supposed to represent and reflect the heart of God. So I want to talk about the word of God this morning because I want you to know that God desires that you find your place in the kingdom. Now, when I say your place in the kingdom, God has something for you, for you, for you. But guess what? No cross, no crown. So the title of the message today is When They Throw Dirt. Turn to somebody and say, When They Throw Dirt. A lot of times we go into the word and we see how the word talks about, well, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now you're saved. And we receive that word and it's preached in churches all over. Don't you know the church is one of the most segregated places? How we represent in the kingdom of God and we can't even sit among one another in fellowship. I want you to know that there's no cross, no crown. God is trying to take the people to a higher place, but we don't understand how to get there. Now, there's a scripture that I'm going to start off with to show you how the kingdom works. Because a lot of times we want to go along with the crowd. We want to do what everybody else is doing. But I believe that God is trying to take somebody in this place higher spiritually. So if you turn with me to Matthew 7:13, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The reason why I want to talk this way today is it says that narrow is the gate, and few that find it. Now, why is this? Jesus was saying this because we have something in our own mindset that makes us believe that we do not have to go through a real transformation. We receive the Lord in our life, but is he really real in your heart? He cannot be real in your heart if you're not ready to wear the crown. Everybody want to celebrate Jesus, but Jesus was the king that did not have his own throne here on earth. But guess what? He bared it all for you and I so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And I know that God is an awesome God. When you reflect on Moses, it says here, I just have a little passage here. After wandering in the desert for 40 years, the Israelites finally approach the boundaries of the promised land. After they were wandering for 40 years, they finally got to the promise of God. And I'm going to talk about that today because I'm going to show you how the enemy works against you. How sometimes people will change on you even though they're among you, they will change on you. And I want you to see that that has nothing to do with your walk with Christ. I want you to understand that you have to build up some strength spiritually so that you can stand. Now, the children of Israel, they were taken out of slavery. And they went with Moses, and they were in the desert. They were in a place where they didn't have the comforts of life. You know how everyone wants to get up and go when they say, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's going to be great. And that's what they did. They left the slavery, but then they went to the promise. And it says their great leader Moses had died, and God had transformed power over to Joshua. And I'm going to talk about that today. Now, God sent over the power over to Joshua. When the people came out, Moses never got to see the promise. So when Joshua got to the promised land with the people after being in the desert for 40 years, guess what? He did not just get there. They had to go through experiences in order to get the promise. You understand what I'm saying? They had to go through experiences to get to the promise. What was one of the experiences? The Jordan River. They had to cross over the Jordan River. Now, in the next passage I have, because I want to set this up quickly because I don't want to keep you long, is Deuteronomy 27, 4, and 7. So after the people have left Egypt, they were free from slavery and free from oppression. But you know what happened? Now they were looking for the promise of God. And those that went out did not get to the promise. The next generation got there. A lot of times it's exciting to get out of something. God said he's going to transform your life, change it around. Now you can't get to the promise of God without understanding that he's got to bring you through something. You understand what I'm saying? And in order for them to bring him to bring you through, you have to understand, you have to build up some strength to withstand the attack of the enemy. And you don't get strength to withstand the attack of the enemy just shouting as you're leaving Egypt. You get strength when you're in the midst of the battle and the enemy begins to attack you all around you and people begin to throw things at you and call your names. Because they did it to who? Jesus. Is that right? We want to kind of get with this kind of church thing that looks all rosy and look all great and all the words are written right. But I want you to know, I need you to get this in your spirit, because we're to build up one another. All we need to build up the ministries around that are doing the work of God. But what I want you to understand is that when the attack comes, you have to understand that God wants you to set up altars to remember what God has brought you through. So that when you're going through something, you can turn around and say, hey, I remember, but this is what God has done for me. So let's go on to this verse here. It says in Deuteronomy, it's just kind of coming off because they crossed the Jordan River. Now they have a new leader. Now their new leader is Joshua. It's no longer Moses. And you know how we get when we're going through transformation? We don't know who to believe or how to trust. So God had to establish some things in their lives with Joshua. And so one of them experiences was the Jordan. And so it says here in Deuteronomy 27, 4 and 7, it says, so it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Olivet these stones. And as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stone. It says, so he said, I'm going to let you know something. Once you cross the Jordan, I want you to build an altar. And this altar is going to be a stone. Amen. And the word, and it said this altar is going to be a stone, and it's going to be coated with lime. You shall build there an altar unto the Lord your God, and the altar of stone you shall not wield an iron tool on it. NIV. So he said, I want you to just get some rocks, and you overcome something, and I want you to go get some rocks now, and I want you to build this altar. Now, the thing about building this altar, he said, build it with rock, with stone, and don't wield no iron tool. And so he didn't want nothing that man had to do with it. And I'm going somewhere with this. And so God said to Joshua, now you have crossed the Jordan just like the generation before you crossed the Red Sea. So I'm showing you that I'm using you. So after this occurs, I want you now, because you are celebrating victory, I want you to build an altar. And what is the altar for? Can someone tell me? It's for a place of sacrifice. So God told Joshua, he said, I want you to build this thing, and I don't want it to be about man. He said, so I don't want you to get rock that was cut a certain way. I want you to take lime, and I just want you to take the stuff from nature and build this altar. And I know that you were victorious, and I know that you were praising God after you got over to the other side. You know how we do when we come to church. We praise God. He blessed us with something. We praise God for whatever we got. And I like, but God said, no, I don't want that. I want you to set up an altar. Now, I was looking at this story, and I began to say to myself, Lord, what do you mean you want us to set up an altar? He says in the Bible, it said, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. So when the altar that they were building there was a sacrificial altar to also bring something to God. And then we're going to talk about that. We want to be righteous. We want to grow spiritually. But when you overcome something, he said, then I want you to turn around, and I don't want you to get the stuff that men gave you. I want you to take what I left for you. And he said, you take them rocks, you build this altar, and you make it right, and don't use any tools that you got to form the rocks. No, just make a straight up altar. And you know how we get spiritual. Oh, well, you know, I heard from the Lord. He said, do it like this. But no, he said, no, just get these rocks. Just get these rocks and do it the way I said, do it. And then the next verse, it says here, and you shall build the altar of the Lord, your God, and of uncut stone. And you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord, your God. So that was the first passage I wanted to go over to. The next thing I want to say, what does the altar symbolize? I need us to get some understanding here. The altar symbolizes the table, God's table, a sacred place for sacrifices and gifts, offerings to God. So that's what the altar represents, is a place of sacrifice and gifts to God. Amen? So it doesn't have all this other stuff going on. It's a place to sacrifice and offer up to God. All right. Now, the next passage I want to go into, because I'm going somewhere and I'm almost done. I want you to see in Exodus 17:15, it says Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. All right. Next, in Genesis 8:20, it says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. I'm going somewhere with this. So it shows you how all those that were called of God were going forward. When God did something great in their life, he told them, go build an altar. Go build an altar. A place of sacrifice. Someone say that with me, a place of sacrifice. When you see society throughout the ages, you'll see how they built altars, and they would build them higher up in the sky because they felt that they were going closer to their gods. My message in the title is, when they throw dirt. Somewhere. The last one I got is Genesis 12:7. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So we have all these cases. We have Moses, we have Noah, and we have Abraham. They all built an altar. Altars are a place of sacrifice. And because we are the sacrifice of God, we now have to know who we are. The next scripture I'm going to is, I'm going to go over this scripture. Actually, I didn't even put the verse where it's found, but it's the golden calf, and I'm going to wrap it up with this. It says in 32, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, this is what happened. The people saw that Moses went up into the mountain and it took a while for him to come down. All right. And then it says here from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt. We did know what happened to him, it says here. Then it says in the second verse that Aaron answered them and says, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. And it says in the third, it says, so all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. It says he took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf. When the people were delivered and Moses just left for a little bit of time to be with God, the people forgot about what God had done for them. They only remembered what they had in Egypt. So Aaron was a partner that was with Moses. Instead of him being rooted and grounded, he began to break and he began to do what the people wanted to do. And so now he forgot about the sacrifice. And now he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go back to what we used to do. Because we kind of know how that goes. So they were free from Egypt, but instead they didn't know the God of Abraham. They didn't know the promise of God. They were just following somebody. You know how we do sometimes? Just follow. Don't know the word for yourself. So Aaron began to tell them, give me your jewelry. And they made a calf in the image, an idol in the image of this calf. Now, I need us to understand this, is that these people were delivered from bondage and they went back to what they were delivered from. And the only way we as a people of God are going to grow spiritually, you have to know how to set up a place of sacrifice so that you can look back and see where God has brought you from. Because it's so easy to forget. How many of you read something yesterday and might have forgot it today? You ever been introduced to somebody and they say, hey, my name is Jack. You walk away, you're like, what's the name? We forget. But that's why God wants us to set up an altar of sacrifice to remember what he's done in our life. Now, a lot of time we want to take physical things and we want to plant that altar and make that sacrifice. But no, now it says we are a living sacrifice. Now, this is where it gets tough. If you're a living sacrifice, just like with Jesus, you see, they begin to throw dirt at him. They begin to crucify him and say, you're supposed to be the king of the Jews. You're supposed to be this great Jesus that everyone is praising. Now you're on the cross. And I need you to understand, some of us are going through things in our life that feels like you're on the cross. But no cross, no crown, no sacrifice, no blood. You cannot get to the promise. That's why God continued to tell the people, I know you know Moses, but you need to know me. You have to have a relationship with me to get into the kingdom of heaven. So when it says broad is a way that leadeth to destruction and narrow is a way that leads to life. So who is it that you're going to be? And, you know, sometimes somebody might offend you at work or at church. You know, we do. We get up and leave. Well, I'm not going no more. I'm quitting my job. No cross, no crown. All you need to do is just put up, remember what God has done for you. See, this is where we break down. Okay, yes, somebody offended you. Yes, somebody caused offense in your life. But what I need you to see is that, is God not better than that? See, because the God that I serve is a God that makes me. Is the God that wakes me up in the morning. Is the God that brings peace where there was none. That's the God I serve. So I need to put an altar of sacrifice and of memory so that I can remember what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. When you remember what he's done for you, regardless about what people do to you, you're going to remember the cross. So the people of Israel were free, and what they began to do was go back to their old ways. When you get free, don't you know that you have to now have a mind change experience? Because you don't know how it is to be free. God has freed us from sin and changed our life around. And he's saying to you now, okay, now what are you going to do with it? Are you gonna present yourself? And this is important because it says present yourself. You are a living sacrifice. So it says you present yourself. Yes, I know they're throwing dirt at you. I know they're talking about your name. I know they're talking about your children. I know they're talking about how you look and dress. But God is saying present yourself a holy sacrifice. Can we do that, church? Because see, the reason why this is important is I want to get to my crown. And the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. So his job is to take away the promises of God. And we got to see that the victory is in our praise. Somebody give God some praise. So it says here that Aaron answered them and he said, take off your earrings and take off your wives and sons' stuff that you're wearing and bring them to me. And he said, so all the people took off their earrings and brought it to Aaron, and he took what they had handed him and made it into the idol, the things made by man, the things that we have. Now I'm going to get ready to wrap this up because I want to bring some things out to us. A lot of times we need to know, we need to change our thinking. And the part that I want to get to in changing your thinking is this. They will throw dirt. I was watching something and someone was an atheist and they began to share about why they don't believe in Christ. And then they started talking about the church and the people of God. And then you have the other aspect of the church where the church is up and preaching against homosexuality and gays and all this, and then the world's looking at that and saying, that looks pretty hateful. And then I remember the scripture where it was talking about, you know, everyone's turning, everyone's trying to find a way, but no one knows the way. And the Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth to what? So the stuff that everyone's agreeing with, let's do it, yeah, it sounds right because it's in the Bible, no. The Bible says, he said, depart from me, ye who work is iniquity. Because what it is, we don't know the word. He said, I am the God of what? Peace surpasses all understanding. So that you're going to, when you're coming out of Egypt, don't you know that the enemy is that knows your Egypt? So if he knows your Egypt, he knows what you're tied to, what kind of spirit you're tied to, what kind of environment you came from. And so a lot of times God wants to transform us by the renewing of our mind, and we keep going back to Egypt. Like the people did, they went back to what they knew. They say, oh, Moses is gone. We don't know. he gone. And so instead of them standing up saying, no, we remember how God delivered us from the Red Sea. They didn't look at those sacrifices, their offering, their altar. Instead, they said, well, we don't want to go through this. Let's go back to what we're used to. How many of you are going through something in your life and you're saying someone's offending you or somebody's throwing something at you, an offense at you, and you get up and leave the church? You get up and leave your relationship with God. Instead of looking at that altar of sacrifice and remembering what he's done, you crossed over Jordan. You came out of prison. You came out of a bad relationship. You came out of something that was a mess. Instead of you looking back and saying, oh, wow, that's what God's done for me. He's brought me over. You look at the dirt that they're throwing at you. But that's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's trying to make you disciples. And disciples aren't made the same way everything else is made. The way to make a disciple, the disciple has to choose to surrender everything over to him. He said, if you truly want to be my disciples, you're going to what? Follow me, give up what you have, and come with me. Now, the part that he wants us to give up is not you leave your job and not be responsible and not go to work and this and that. That's foolishness. The part he wants you to give up is the flesh, the idols. You know, it's our TV, it's our sports. You know, the new church of today is Sunday morning sports time out in the parks. People stop going to church and they rather invest more in their children at a basketball game on a Sunday and a football game. But you know what my father used to do? We were one of the best on the team. So he used to say, listen, they're not going to be there on a Sunday. You know, they started changing it. But we don't do that anymore. The Christians, the ones that want to fight about homosexuality and all these things, are fighting against the sports directors making these decisions and weakening the body of Christ. Don't you know that the devil has a plan? He's trying to get to your children because he knows that the foundation of the word has to be a seed that is planted. And we up there playing games and saying holiness and this and that. We don't see that there's an onslaught of the next generation. And we don't have no altars of sacrifice that says, I got to sacrifice to get to church because my family is dependent on it. But no, we don't want no sacrifice. We're like, no, we don't. People say, oh, I don't go to church on Sunday morning because I'm tired. No sacrifice. No offering. Somebody said, no sacrifice. No offering. So when the people were delivered, God turned around and said, now I want you to make an altar. Why is that? He didn't just say, oh, I just want you to shout on the corner. Some of us are so holy. Holy Ghost filled with no earthly good. He wants you to know how to be practical enough to get your victory and to hold on to it. And the way to get your victory and hold on to it is a picture is worth 1,000 words. So every time you make that sacrifice, you put that you make that mark in time where God has done something great. That's why we do testimony service. I know sometimes it's crazy. So I remember back in the day, my father's been bishop for a while. And I've been in church since I was a child. And I remember someone got up and testified, said, oh, you know, my cat had died and God showed me to dream my cat's in heaven right now. We're like, Dad, you better get that mic. But the Bible says that we overcome by the word of our testimony. And so that's why I encourage you testifying. Because I want you to set something up in your mind so that you can remember the sacrifice and that you would see. But the thing is, don't only remember what God has brought you through, but bring your offering to it. You understand? Bring that which you desire, that thing that you need to change. Thank you. Bring the things that you need to change. What is it that you need to change in your life? Yes, go ahead and get the victory. Be excited about what God has done. But also know that you have to understand what kind of things you're building around you in your life. I want the victory. I want God to get the praise for the things that he has done. That's why the stone couldn't be carved with anything that man has made. God said, I want you to go to nature and take the lime and put it on it. And I like how he instructed them. That means you have to be a listener. You got to hear from God. The one of the problems we have in the church today throughout the church is everybody's hearing from God and everybody's prophesying all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff. You know why that's happening? It's because nobody wants to go to God for themselves. And so now the church is mixed up and confused. True man or woman of God is going to cause you to get to know him for yourself. So when they throw dirt, like they did Jesus, when you're going through something that you just have no strength over, when it's something that's so personal that it breaks you and it moves your spirit, I want you to think about no crown. So yeah, they thrown the dirt. They did it to Jesus. He was in the Garden Gethsemane, and he began to pray and said, take this cup from me. But then he said, no, I'm going to do the will of my Father. So it does get hard, church. But stop calling up and saying, Pastor, I got to go now. Why are you going? Somebody hurt my feelings. Oh, it's not because God is leading you. No, they hurt my feeling. They hurt your feeling at work. You better go to work. Because as your feelings hurt, you broke. Your bills ain't paid. Come on, somebody. We get so spiritual that we're no earthly good. You know, we have people that are so spiritual that they can be mean. They can cast out spirits and get those spirits out of you, and then you talk to them later. You can't be like, oh, hold up. I didn't know you were that mean. Offense is coming, church. Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to hurt your feeling. But I want to know, who do you call? If you call Jesus, then that's where you go. In the midst of the storm, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Come with me. Stop talking about what they're throwing at you. Set up an altar of sacrifice and learn that I got to sacrifice something to get to the promise of God. Let us stand. To get to the promise of God, we have to sacrifice. It says, give and it shall be given back to you. The very simple promise of the word. What are you sacrificing? Brother, like the brother you testified, how you're moving on, God is sending you somewhere. Listen, I want everyone to know that change has to come. God is to establish us in all our ways. I want to see you come back saved and established in the Lord. Because guess what? The enemy don't want you to stand. And I want the church to know that they shall throw dirt. And I know your feelings are hurt. But I need you to know that God is still in control. Give God some praise. And because he's still in control, you know, the altars were made. You know, the sacrifices were made. It says here, God will test us through relationships with others. Do you understand that? It says here that Isaac had been blessed by God. It says here that before he could be blessed, he had to go through something. I want you to know that Isaac was the one that was going to be sacrificed. I want you to know here that says every good relationship can turn sour. God doesn't cause it, but he uses those relationships, those problems, to test us in our attitude. I need you to know this. It says here, for no apparent reason, the Philistines began to act strangely towards Isaac. It says, once they had been open and friendly, but now, all of a sudden, their attitudes change. And it says it was because of jealousy, and they felt threatened by the blessings of God upon Isaac's life. There are going to be offense coming to you. But I'm telling you now, remember what God has done and set up your altar of sacrifice. Remember what God has done. Remember that day before you received the Lord, you were broken in a mess. And your life felt as if it was not worth living. Remember when you didn't have your lights on and you cried out in the night and said, Lord, I need a blessing. And instantly somebody somewhere sent a blessing. Remember. And now as you remember this, now say to the Lord, here's my sacrifice. Here's my sacrifice for what you've done for me. And I'm going to forget about what everyone else done to me to harden my heart. And I'm going to close my eyes and remember the sacrifices that God has made for me. And then you're going to turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my sacrifice because I owe you. And I'm not going to give you a jump. I'm going to give you my very best.
Praise God. I think this is a powerful message. I know that you enjoyed it. Listen, we've been inviting you out week after week. Please come visit us. People keep calling, trying to find out where we're at. We're at 1850 Elm Street. Service time is 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. We're located in Manchester, New Hampshire. Please come and visit us and also share out our podcast. Let us know that you appreciate this work. Again, we hope to see you. Have a blessed day.